All right, we're going to be in 1 Peter, and this morning I'm going to try to turn to 1 Peter instead of 2 Peter. I still laugh about how many verses I read before I realized I was reading the wrong ones. Yeah, we were looking, and I was even bringing commentary to the, oh, these are great verses. You know, it didn't even dawn on me, I'm not teaching this. So, I mean, I forgot my glasses. Stink. Let's all stand. I'll do my best. We'll start in verse number, let's see. We'll start in verse 3. Our text is 10 through 12, but let's get a running start to it in verse 3. 1 Peter, I double checked, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. That's packed right there. Begotten us again is a reference to what Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. So when we got saved, we were given a hope, the work of the Holy Ghost in us that affirms and constantly affirms us of our salvation. That's why it's alive. You cannot lose your salvation, and the Holy Spirit reminds you of that constantly, every day, every moment, that He's in you, He loves you, and He wants to work in you and through you. Yeah. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven, who are kept, I love this, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You don't keep yourself saved, God keeps you saved. Amen. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I am going to comment on every verse, if you're wondering. He says for a season there. You know what that is encouraging to us? That our trials, our temptations, it's for a season. It's not going to be forever. So what do? Anchor yourself to Christ. Anchor yourself to truth. Keep being faithful. Keep grinding, like we said Sunday night last week. And then, of course, we'll talk about it this morning. Never walk away. Let's go on. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, Amen. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now with that foundation in place, the salvation of your soul, look at verse 10. This is our text. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired. The prophets of old is who he's talking about. Old Testament prophets. They inquired and searched diligently who prophesied the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, speaking of the prophets, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. This morning we're going to be talking about renewed passion for God. Renewed passion for God. We need that, don't we? We could just call it revival, right? We need revival. What a great lesson, by the way, leading to revival, which is in a couple of weeks from now. I mean, we're preparing for revival, and God's doing it. We're just going through the scriptures right now, and God gives us a lesson, renewed passion for God, preparing ourselves for revival. That could be the subtitle. So let's pray, and we'll get into this. Father, we pray for your help this morning. Guide us in your path. Lord, help us to hear from you. And then, Lord, as you speak to us, help us to turn our hearts to you in just in hope and in grace and in confidence, Lord, in commitment, a renewal, a revival of our spirit. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. when I was a kid, when I was in college, I was getting away from playing basketball, just didn't have a lot of time for it, and I was losing my passion for that. But I still wanted a hobby, something to do. You know, I didn't have a relationship, I was in college, so I had some free time, and, you know, I wanted to, you know, do something like a hobby. I ministered to the teenagers in our church, and several of the guys that I ministered to, they were gamers. For those of you who don't know what that means, it means they played video games. That was their thing. So I wanted to minister to these guys, so I would play video games with them, but I was not good at it. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't like it. Because these games, you know, it's like realistic. You go in there and you have some sort of a weapon, and you have all these knobs on this controller. There's knobs on both sides, you know, so you have to control some of the function of the person with this side, and then you control the other function with this. Yeah, maybe I'm good on this side, but I'm terrible on this side. So what they would be running around and it looked like normal, the way the game should be. But for me, I'm running around in circles like this, you know, the whole game, because I hated it. So I was never going to be a gamer. I knew that. So what am I going to do? And there was a man in our church who gave guitar lessons, and I thought, well, let me try that. I can maybe learn how to do the guitar. So I bought a cheap guitar. It was a little Yamaha. And the E string, which is the bottom string, when you played it, it had like a real bad twang. Quang, 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 you know. But I bought it for like $10 or something. But I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. So we would go to class, and he would show the chords, and I would practice it. But he said just practice for 15 minutes a day, but I did not do that. I practiced for 2 hours every day. Now, when you're first learning an instrument like the guitar, your fingers are the chief part of this process. You have to hold those strings down with those fingers. I didn't know that you have to hold the strings down hard. I thought you just touched the strings, and then it would make the appropriate sounds. But no, you have to push the strings really hard with your fingers to hold them down, and then you strum, and it makes that chord or whatever note you're trying to do. Well, when your fingers, the tips of your fingers are not used to that kind of pressure with those steel strings, what I found is after 30 minutes of practice, the tips of my fingers were really hurting. And I practiced, like I said, for 2 hours every day. And so after 30 minutes, there's pain, but I would just practice through it. Like, hey, you know, it hurts, but no pain, no gain. That's what I heard all my life. So I just grinded it out, you know, but I kept practicing. After a couple of days of practicing like that, I literally lost feeling in all four of these fingers in my left hand all the way to the knuckle. I could not feel, I could do that, and I could not feel the finger at all. And I think, I don't know if that's normal. I'm not sure it should be like that, you know. But I continued practicing, and I got feeling back, and I got calloused on the ends of my fingers, so everything worked out. And the reason why I practiced for 2 hours and I practiced through the pain and I was able to play my first song in front of the church after 1 month, just learning the guitar for 4 weeks, and I played a song in front of the whole church. When I walked up with a guitar, most of the church didn't even know. This is the church I was baptized in, and I'd been there for many years at that point. So when I walked up onto the platform with a guitar on, everybody in the church was looking at each other. He's not going to play that. You know, and I played a whole song and sang. It was great. It was amazing. The reason why it was that way for me is because I was passionate about it. There was passion there. Sometimes, though, along the way, we lose passion for things. And I was passionate in those years, and I got around people that played, and I would play every day, and I played with other people who played. And it just built that passion. I loved music. I loved songs. There were songs that I would listen to, and I would recognize the chords in the song, and then I would say, I can play that song. And I would write it out, and then I would play that song. And so every week I'm learning new songs, and I'm playing songs, and the passion was building, and it was there. But years later, what ended up happening is I started to lose the passion because I set the guitar aside. I would be busy, and I didn't practice. I wasn't listening as much to songs that I used to. I would just be busy, and I was in my thoughts so much writing sermons or counseling or doing discipleship, soul winning with people, that I just didn't listen to music. And after a few weeks of not playing the guitar and not listening to the music, the passion started to go away. And when we moved here a couple of years ago, things had been busy, very busy. And for the first year, Melissa and I played, and her and I sang quite a bit. But for the past year or so, the busyness has amped up. And what I had found after a while is I had not played my guitar for 2 weeks. I didn't even realize that I hadn't played it. And so maybe I would do a song, and then it would be another 2 weeks. And then I would play a song, or maybe just play for a little bit. And then a few months ago, I realized, you know, I hadn't hardly played the guitar for a whole month. And I got to the point where a few weeks ago, or it had been several weeks ago, I said this to Melissa. I said, you know, this is weird, but I don't even really want to play the guitar anymore. That's how I feel. So what for me was so passionate, in time, the passion began to go away. So I don't even want to do it anymore. Did you know that can happen to us? So that we start off with God having a fire and a passion and a burden to be a witness, to be a soul winner, to be faithful, to read our Bible, to pray, to seek the Lord and to know Him and to love Him and to be close to Him. I remember in Bible college when I was laying on my bed and it was just the Lord in me, and I was praying and seeking Him and talking to Him. And I remembered in chapel earlier that day, I don't remember the message, but I remember God stirred me and I jet to the altar and I prayed and I was weeping and I was thankful and filled with God and just passionate for Him and loving Him. And so that I got home that night and I was laying on my bed and I was talking to Him again. And I remembered I threw the blanket up over my head just because even though I was the only one in the room, I was the only one in the house, I just wanted to be that much more just God and me. So I threw the blanket up over my head and I just prayed and I talked to Him like He was there. And I cried and I was so thankful and happy and filled with joy and peace. I remember that. But I'm here to tell you, that's not where I am right now. And maybe in your life, you remember times when you had a passion similar to that. A love and a burden and a concern and, you know, a desire that just burned in you to be with God. So you couldn't wait to pray and you couldn't wait to spend time with Him and you couldn't wait to be around Him and you couldn't wait to be around God's people, people who also loved God like you love God, or people who should love God like you love God, and you became a fire that ignited something in them. By the way, that's what we should be. When a fire is lit in us and you get around other people, you know what you do? You light a fire in them. That's why we need to be at church. That's why we need to be around each other. Because the passion goes away if you get away from God. And that's what ends up happening. Like I set the guitar aside. Well, you know, I'm busy. And I have all these things. And I have all this stuff. And so I set it aside. And my fingers, they're not as, you know, calloused as they used to be. Meaning I'm more sensitive. And it hurts. And it makes me that much more not want to play the guitar. And I just keep putting it away so that one day I'll say something like this: I don't even want to play anymore. And we set the Bible aside and we set the things of God aside and the things that really matter, by the way. And we do that for a time. Why? Because we're busy. Because we have other things we need to do. Because we have all this other stuff on our schedule. It's because, you know, we're tired. It's because, you know what, we've been doing it for a long time. We're just going to take a break. We're just going to set it aside for a while, but you better be careful doing that. You know why? Because you'll set it aside, and what will end up happening is you'll become sensitive. And you'll become, because of that sensitivity, you don't want to be involved with it because it's a little bit painful. You don't want to pick it back up and get back into it. And what ends up happening is the passion goes away, and you'll start saying stuff like this: you know what, I don't really want to read my Bible today. You know, I don't really, you know, here's how I feel. I don't really want to pray. I think if we're honest, all of us get there, right? I read my Bible today. Yeah, but did you want to? Yeah, I prayed today. Yeah, but did you want to? Could you not wait? I couldn't wait to pray today. I couldn't wait to read my Bible today. Was that in your heart? I went to church. I did my thing. I did what I needed to do, you know. Yeah, but did you want to come to church? Were you passionate about it? Is there a fire burning on the inside? If not, you know what we need? We need what Peter is going to talk about this morning. I don't know if you fit into this, but I do. We need renewed passion for God. A revival of the soul. An ignition of the fire. That's what we need. You know, I think we have access to just what we need, don't we? The Word of God. The Spirit of God. It's all here. I mean, God is He's the power source, right? In the beginning, somebody created the heaven and the earth. Who was that? It was God. You know what? That's Elohim. It means all powerful, almighty. He is the source. Amen. You know, Einstein, you know, he didn't invent it, but discovered the theory of relativity, which time, space, and matter had to all come into existence at the same time. Did y'all study this before? This is amazing. Think about this. The theory of relativity, time, space, and matter had to come into existence all at the same time. Because if you don't have time, but you have space and matter, the question would be, when? If you have space and time, the question would be, what do you have? You have to have matter. If you have matter and time, the question would be, where is it? Has to have space. All three had to come into existence simultaneously. Amen. In the beginning. What's that? Time. God created the heaven, space, and the earth. Matter. All three simultaneously. One verse, all at once. And you know what actually gives us something more than Einstein gave us? What was it? The power source. In the beginning, God. He pre-existed all of creation, and He's the power behind its creation. Okay, so God is the power source. He's the one. He's the fuel that'll keep you burning. He is the power source for you. I just now thought of this. Do you know who the igniter is? It's the Holy Ghost. He's going to light your fire this morning. None of that was in my notes, but I liked it. Okay, let's take a look here in verse number 10. Of which salvation, that's a good start, by the way. I mean, we're talking about a living hope in us that cannot be taken away, kept by God. Hallelujah. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Look at verse 11, the first word, searching. You know what the prophets did? They searched. They looked for answers. Now, who are the prophets? Well, let's just talk about Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet of God who wrote the word of God. A prophecy is something that's predicted, at least whenever we're referencing what the prophets of the Old Testament were doing. They were predicting something that hadn't happened yet. And so they're predicting the coming of Jesus. Jesus had not come yet, but they're predicting that. They're telling us about Jesus. When the prophet Isaiah wrote Isaiah 53, which we're going to look at here in a second, he did not know about the meaning of the prophecy that he himself wrote. And that's what this is referencing. Look at verse 10 again. This is amazing. Of which salvation, so we're talking about Jesus, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So here's what Peter is saying. The prophets wrote from by the moving of the Holy Ghost their prophecy. They talked about Jesus, but they didn't understand what they wrote. So after they wrote the prophecy, they turned around and studied it to try to understand it. That's what he's saying. They searched diligently, searching and looking, trying to find the answer, inquiring, it says, to find out about Jesus because they didn't understand it. Now I want to show you how this happened. I want to show it to you. How cool is this, what we're about to look at? You don't know, but I'm going to show you. Keep your finger or ribbon or paper or bulletin or something right here in Peter and go to Isaiah 53 with me. Some of you know what we're about to talk about. Isaiah 53. Isaiah is a prophet. He wrote this. In chapter 53, he's prophesying about Jesus. Now, let me help you understand something. When Isaiah wrote this, it was 700 years before Jesus came. So he's writing about something he doesn't know about. But he wanted to know about it. This is what he's searching. He would have wrote this and turned around and studied it. Look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know, I think whenever Isaiah wrote that and turned around and studied it, you know a question he might have asked? Who is that? Who is that that will bear our griefs? Who is that who will carry our sorrows? I don't understand who that will be. He goes on. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Wait a second. So the man who will bear our griefs will be smitten and afflicted? What does that mean? Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So the one who came to bear our griefs and bring us salvation, he'll suffer. And you mean to tell me, Isaiah would have wondered, he's going to suffer for us? This man who will come to bear sins and bear griefs is doing it to bear our griefs? Let's go on. Verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, this blessed Messiah. Verse 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, meaning he didn't speak. So he opened not his mouth. Isaiah would have read that. He would have wanted to understand. He would have wanted to know. But here's the point. He couldn't have known. God would not have revealed it to him because it wasn't time for Jesus to come yet. But he wanted to know. And the Bible says he searched diligently. I'm going to give you a word. Because we saw the word inquired, we saw the word search diligently, and we saw in verse 11 of our text, searching. You know what these words are telling us? That the prophets were passionate. They were passionate about the Word of God. Not only the scripting of the Word of God, but they were passionate to understand it. They wanted to know what it meant. They wanted to know who the Messiah was. They wanted to know who this man of sorrows would be. Go to Acts chapter 8. You can lose your place in Isaiah. Acts chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Chapter 8. We're going to look at verse number 20. We're going to start in verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. This is the story about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. This is amazing to me. And by the way, we're going to see 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 through 12 in action right here. Look at verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. This is Philip. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So Candace, the queen of Ethiopia here, sent the Ethiopian delegate, this eunuch, to Jerusalem. Why? To acquire word of God, acquire parchments. Why? She would have heard about the God of Israel. She would have heard about the Red Sea. She would have heard about Moses. She would have heard about all of these stories of the movement of God and the miracles of God bringing Israel out of Egypt. She would have wanted to know. Ethiopia is a place in Egypt, is a place in Africa, by the way. And so she sent her delegate with treasure. Why? Because parchments would have been expensive. And so he acquired the parchments. Let's see, verse 28. Was returning, so he's in his chariot, he's on his way back to Ethiopia, he's sitting in the chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. By the way, Isaiah is the same prophet that you and I just read just moments ago. Let's go on. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" So here's what the prophet Philip, or the man of God Philip, said. "Do you understand the prophecy that you're reading?" Well, let's see how the Ethiopian responded. Verse 31. He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scripture in Isaiah, by the way, which he read was this. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth." That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because we just now read it in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He's reading right where we just read. But I want you to see, and by the way, can I tell you that this man from Ethiopia wants to know who this man is. Just like Isaiah would have wanted to know, who is this that we're talking about? Look at the next verse, 33. "In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, you say it, Jesus. Jesus is the man of sorrows. Jesus is the man who the prophet spoke of. Jesus is the one who's the Savior of mankind. He's the answer to our life. He's the answer to our soul. And he's the response to the prophecy of Isaiah 53. This is amazing. But here's what I want you to see. We have prophets who wanted to know. We have men of the New Testament who were hungry to know. And here's what Peter is trying to get across to you and me. We have access to the Word of God. It's given to us. And we have the Holy Ghost who's in us, equipping us to understand it. That's amazing to me. By the way, we have men of God who are delegates from God, who've been given responsibility, can I say great responsibility, to carry the message of the Word of God with clarity so that we might have understanding of who this man is, Jesus. It's amazing. Go back to 1 Peter. Look at verse 10 again. With that in mind, let's read verse 10 and 11 again. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." So the prophets would have wanted to know. I want you to hear this, because the passion the prophets had is what often we don't have. And I want you to connect with this. I'm going to say that again. The passion that the prophets had to not only write the scripture or script it, but to understand it is where we fail, often where we fail. Our passion goes away. We sideline the things of God and the things that really matter so that we say things like, "I don't really want to do this anymore." The passion is gone. Here's what one writer said about this. Sin. By the way, that's a good start. When you lost your passion, sin is right at the door, isn't it? He said this, "Sin starts with a deception. Often a twisted truth." That's the devil, isn't it? Did you know that the devil is the father of lies? And what he does is he takes something that's not true and he puts it in your mind, or something that's partially true and he twists it and makes it into something it isn't, which is a lie. And so that we meditate on that thing that isn't true, a deception and a lie, and it takes our passion straight away. He goes on. "We mull over and over." Can I say that again? We mull. You understand what I mean when I say that, right? We mull. We think about it. We think about it over in our mind, the deception, considering the benefits of indulgence, until we are so convinced that it's virtues, this sin that has attracted us, that it's virtues that we choose to embrace it. Only then do we find a hook embedded in its lure. After we've allowed ourselves to be deceived, and we embrace that lie, and we allow it to twist us and pull us away so that we engraft ourselves into it, losing the passion for God. It's only then that under that lure, or rather under that luscious thing was a hook, or the lure was a hook. He goes on and he says this, "We will either meditate on truth, inflaming our desires for God, or we will meditate upon lies, inflaming our desire for things that will become idolatrous replacements of Him." You understand that we will meditate, right? Amen. Do you know that the reason why we lose our passion, it's be- Not because we're not meditating, it's because we're meditating on the wrong things. Because we will meditate. That meditation, if it's on the things of God, it will inflame our passion for Him. If our meditation, if our mind, if our thinking is meditating on the things that are not true, they're lies and they're lustful and they're wrong, then what will end up happening is our heart will be inflamed towards the things that pull us away from God. But we will meditate, and the issue is meditation, which is amazing to me. Look at verse number 12 of our text. Unto whom it was revealed, speaking of the prophets, that not unto themselves, but unto us. Just think about that for a minute. That you, not the prophets, they would not have the privilege to know the full, with full understanding, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we do. That's what he says. But unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So let's just say a few things about that. That we've been given the gospel. We've been given the message of Jesus, the fulfillment of the promises of God, which the prophets in their passion would have wanted to understand, but yet it's freely given to us so that we might have understanding and knowledge of the things of God. And by the way, he said here, revealed to us not just by the preacher, but by the preacher who preaches with the Holy Ghost. And so it's not just the man himself, but it's the Holy Ghost who works in the hearts of men. And so we're affirmed of the truthfulness, and the passion doesn't come from us. It comes from God. It comes from His Word and the Holy Ghost working in us. We could just stop right here. We did talk about this last week, but I mean, it's pretty awesome that God works through the message of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit confirms that in us. I mean, this is all we need. You want to be passionate, then you get excited about the Word of God and let the Holy Ghost work in you. Let me say that again. You want your passion back? Get excited about the Word of God and let the Holy Ghost work in you. Walk in the Spirit, not the spirit of man or the spirit of the world or the spirit of the devil, but walk in the Spirit of God. And when you learn to walk in the Spirit, the passion will be there. So he goes on. Look at the last phrase of verse 12. This is like, to me, the cherry on top. Which things the angels desire to look into. The angels. You know who cannot be redeemed? Angels. Angels cannot be redeemed. They don't understand salvation. They don't need to be saved. They're angels. Do you know what an angel cannot understand? And this is what we're seeing here by implication. They desire to look into redemption, salvation. They don't understand it. What does that mean? Here's what they don't understand. Why would God die for sinful men? An angel cannot comprehend it. They can't comprehend the kind of love that God has for you and me. So there's a passion, a desire. It says they desire to look into. There's a picture that God is painting for us, that the prophets are passionate. They wrote the scripture, they studied it, they wanted to know it. But not just the prophets were passionate. The angels were passionate. And they wanted to understand. And they would not be equipped with the ability to understand. But us, God gave us the message. We're the ones who have redemption. Remember the day when He spoke to you and you knew you needed to be saved? And there was a fire that was being lit in you? It wasn't you that was doing that, it was the Holy Ghost. He's compelling you to be saved. And when you submitted your heart through humility, and there's no other way, by the way, you submitted your heart, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And there's no other way other than submission and humility. And you knelt and you bowed your knee before Him and you asked Him to save you. You were redeemed. And you didn't do it for yourself, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't earn our way. We're not good enough and we never will be. He redeemed us. He purchased us back like Hosea purchased Gomer, a harlot. I'll redeem her back. And that's God. An angel can't understand it. The prophets wanted to understand it, yet we possess it. If anybody, the prophets are passionate. The angels are passionate. If anybody should be passionate, it's you and me. So what do we do, Pastor? It's right here, friends. It's right here. It's the meditations of our heart.
Amen.
So about a month ago, I picked the guitar up. Maybe a month and a half. Time flies, man. I can't believe it's been. It felt like last Sunday, 10 minutes ago, right? A few months ago, a couple weeks ago, I picked the guitar back up. Started playing it. My fingers were sore. Just working on things again. And then there was a song. I was listening to a song. I can do that. So I picked the guitar up and I started to play the song. And I could feel it. It was coming back. And I picked the guitar up the next day and I was working on it. And you know, for me, I just wanted to hear the sound. And there's a chord, I think it annoys my wife sometimes because it's like practicing the violin. You know, like, okay, let's draw the line, you know. But for me, there's a chord in the lyrics that goes with the chord. And it moves me, it touches me. And I just want to hear it, so I'll do it again. And then I'll play that chord again. And then I'll go through the song again. And I'll do it again. And I'll continue to do it until, you know what God just does? He gives you the passion back. You know, it might be this morning that you've lost some passion for God. Well, we all do. So what do? We got to pick it back up. We got to pick the word back up. It's like, well, I'm a little bit sensitive. I'm a little bit out of it. Just pick it up and work at it. Get back into it. Get back on your knees. Get back into church. Get back into the things you know the fire was there. Just give one track away. Just talk to one people about Jesus. One person about Jesus. Jim Berg said this, meditation is not an option. We will meditate. Our only option is the choice of fuel for our reflection. People who are passionate for God spend much time listening to and reflecting upon His words. So I'll give you a few. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. For I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, who? The man who meditates day and night upon the word of God, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's strong, by the way. A strong tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This book of the law. This book of the law. That's what you hold in your hands. Shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, and by the way, only then, shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Amen.
We're going to meditate.
Amen.
You're going to think. You have to choose what you're going to meditate upon. Are you going to meditate upon the lie? Or are you going to meditate? Oh, good night. Are you going to meditate upon the word of God? Let's pray. We had a good time this morning. Father, thank you for your word. I pray your grace. Guide us in your path. We love you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.